Hello, friends. Thank you for joining us again. This is the last episode of What Page Are You On for 2017. I've had a great time this year, haven't you, Alice?
I've had the time of my life.
Yeah, and we owe it all to you, our friends and listeners. So thank you so much for joining us.
So here we are once again in my living room with thick snow outside, and we have our hot Ribenas on the go, our Christmas cookies, and I presume this episode is going out on Boxing Day, I think.
Oh my god, that's wild.
Ooh, so Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I hope that you got all the books that you wanted.
And that you are looking forward to 2018, which is just around the corner. And that's what we're doing in this episode, is we're going to talk you through some books that we are looking forward to, some of which we've read, some of which we haven't read, that are coming out next year. Would you like to take us through the whole list now?
Yeah, I will give you the title, author, release date, and publisher, and then we'll discuss our thoughts and feelings about each one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in chronological order. I highly recommend, if there are any that catch your attention, you should at least add them to a wish list on, you know, the website that we don't talk about, or wherever you wish list your books, so you don't forget about them. Okay, so number one is Dark Pines by Will Dean, which is coming out on the 4th of January from One World.
So, obviously my little face lit up as soon as you said that, because, you know, I make no secret of the fact that I think Will is the best dude in the whole world. I know he's listening to this right now. So, hi, Will.
We love your cat.
We love your cat. We just think you're great. And thank you for being such a loyal fan of this podcast. So Dark Pines, I have actually read. So I haven't read a lot of the books that we're going to talk about in this episode, but I have read Dark Pines, which is the first in a trilogy of kind of crime thrillers set in the woods, in the deep, dark forest in northern Sweden, and follows a deaf reporter on a local newspaper called Tuva Moodysen, and this is the first in the trilogy. I've read it. I think it's great. I think it is perfect to read in dark, cold days. It is out in January, but the ebook is out already. So if you are thirsty to read some crime thriller set in a deep, dark Scandi landscape, then you can get on it right now, which probably is not true of all the rest of them. You actually do have to wait till 2018.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I guess this is a good one to start with, because it's, you know, someone that we're personally fond of, and you can actually read now.
And you have just been into that world, haven't you?
Yeah.
You just
went and visited. I did. I went to the Dark Pines themselves and went to visit Will. By the time this comes out, it will have been maybe about 3 weeks ago. So I have seen the world of Dark Pines, even though geographically it's in a slightly different place. So yeah, I'm hyped for him. He's genuinely one of the nicest people I've ever known in my whole life, and I'm just so happy that his debut novel is coming out so soon.
I'm so excited to read it. I do have a copy, but I haven't cracked into it yet.
Partly because you lent it to Beth, who's reading it.
Who's still reading it. But in fact, by the time this episode goes out, I probably will have read it.
Cool.
I'm thirsty. I'm a thirsty, thirsty girl.
Yeah, and like, Will's been so nice to us over our lives that, like, we want to, you know, repay the kindness with enthusiasm about his book and his work.
True. So that is my number one, the first one chronologically. I also then, because the second book on our list is out on the same day, the 4th of January.
What a great day.
I know. And this book is Lullaby by Leila Slimani.
So I...
Would you say Leila or Layla?
I'd say Layla.
Yeah, good, okay.
I
you have also read this one.
I have read this book.
I have read this one as well.
I'd actually quite like, I don't know if this is still our plan, but I'd like us to begin next year with, like, some crime chat, and we'll cover Dark Pines and Lullaby.
Yes, let's not go too deep into Lullaby.
Yeah. So Lullaby is amazing. Like, it's one of the most enjoyable books. Like, if the criteria for our top 10 of the year had been books we've read this year rather than books that came out this year, I'd have had Lullaby in mine.
Hard same.
It's so great. It's a thriller that from the opening page, you know, from the opening sentence of the opening page, you know what has happened. And it's about a nanny that murders the two children that she looks after. So it's not a thriller in terms of you're trying to find out who done it or the weirdness of some situation that needs to be resolved. It's almost just like going into a deep dive into the psychology of the people involved in this family and this life, and just what drives someone to doing that. That's what Lullaby is about, in my opinion.
It is. It's so chilling. It's so well executed. That's all I want to say. I feel like I can't say anything else without really just cracking the shell of it.
And yeah.
Diving right in.
But I think
it's going to be one of the biggest books of the year.
I agree. So what a great day. The 4th of January. Two great books are out in one day.
Spicy little day.
Yeah. Imagine kicking the year off with such a spicy day.
Okay, so number three is the 25th of January from W.W. Norton & Co. And this is From Here to Eternity, which is the new non-fiction book by Caitlin Doughty.
Didn't you get that when you were in New Orleans?
Yes, I did. Cool. I was so thirsty for it. I bought it in New Orleans. I've already read it. The American cover is stunning. It has this kind of Art Deco feel to it.
It's on the table right now. I'm looking at it.
I'm moving my Fenty lipstick off it. I really wanted this edition as well. So Caitlin Doughty is a mortician by trade. She has the YouTube channel Ask a Mortician. Her first book was called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, which is a memoir about her career. This book is, she travels around the world to different places that have unusual death traditions. So she travels to them and learns more about these like kind of offbeat different ways of kind of dealing with death. There are moments in Smoke Gets in Your Eyes where she talks about death traditions. She's an advocate for death positivity and a founding member of the Order of the Good Death, which is about embracing your mortality and having these difficult conversations with your loved ones. For me, she is a really important person. She really has helped me deal with my own grief in a kind of really interesting way. This book is an absolute banger. You don't have to have read Smoke Gets in Your Eyes to enjoy it. It's more kind of
anthropological.
It's more anthropological. And incredibly interesting. I could recommend it to anyone. It's great. And it's not as, I don't think it's particularly upsetting.
Yeah.
Like if you're someone that shies away from grief and death, but you're still kind of interested in kind of morbid shit, then you'll have a good time with this book.
Cool. Because I remember a few years ago, I read Beth, who we just mentioned because she is the one that has your copy of Dark Pines and has not given it back yet. I read a book that belonged to her that was Nothing to be Frightened of by Julian Barnes, which is a non-fiction book about death. And I feel like I got a lot out of it at the time and have since lapsed in my embrace of death. So I think maybe I need to read this and like chill out about death.
I'll add it to your pile.
Thank you.
The other thing you can do is, if you're not sure, you can dip into the Ask a Mortician videos.
Yeah.
She does a lot of her videos. They're incredibly well-researched. She talks a lot about kind of corpses and funeral stories and like strange happenings throughout history with a really kind of frank manner. I just think she's great. She's really
like an asset to the world. Like one of those people you're really glad they exist.
And you know what? She has the most perfect hair I've ever seen.
It's almost annoying. You almost want to like kick her.
I almost want to like just give it a little ruffle just to see if it all falls back into place perfectly. And I think it would.
It would. Yeah. God. She's too good. I'll definitely read this book.
Good, I'm glad. I think also, like, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes is kind of, it's pretty gory.
Yeah.
You know, it goes into the real mechanics of the body, which for me was fine. That's one of the things that I needed. And apparently she says one of her most frequently asked questions are very specific questions about the state of people's loved ones. Like, you know, my mother's been dead for X amount of years. What would her body look like right now? So people are very preoccupied with the physicality of death.
Yeah.
And that's something that she answers those questions in a really kind of frank, no-nonsense way. But that obviously is not for everyone. This book, I don't feel, was quite as graphic.
Yep. Gnarly.
Actually, no. You know what? I'm going to take that right back because there's a very detailed description of a cremation in it. An outdoor cremation.
Oh my God.
It's beautiful though. Like, what a beautiful thing. It's like the only place in America that has an outdoor pyre. that they had to really fight for.
So you get burnt up there and then you just get released into the air simultaneously.
Yeah, but like, so all your family like around you.
And breathing it in.
Yeah, breathing it in. But they lay the body, the body's wrapped in a shroud, and then they lay juniper all over it so that you actually smell just juniper smoke.
Cool. Not like a barbecue.
It's not like a barbecue.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah, I know. So actually, it is a little bit gory. I mean, you're not going to read a book called From Here to Eternity if you're not going to be prepared to read a little bit about death. So.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my number three. Number four is one that I think you've also read.
Yes.
This is coming out the 22nd of February from Picador, and this is Fire Sermon by Jamie Quatro.
So, I've read this book.
Me too.
And in the previous episode, where we gave our top tens of the year, we kind of talked a little bit about books that do a similar thing to lots of other books, but do them loads better. And that's how I feel about Fire Sermon. So Fire Sermon is about two adults, kind of maybe in their 50s, who have an affair. And they are both Christians. They are both quite strict and serious Christians. And they develop this kind of email relationship that then becomes a real life relationship, and it's just about like their lives leading up to that, their affair, their correspondence, and their spirituality and their Christianity. And it's not like other books I've read about people having affairs. It's so wonderful. I really love this book. Yeah, it just feels like the best version of this genre with an added element of the religion angle.
And it is on a line level so exquisitely written.
She's amazing.
What an honour that we had at the Picador Showcase, where we were lucky enough to witness her read, like, the first page.
Which, obviously, on the page, you're like, wow. And then she reads it and you're like, she's so cool. Yeah. She's so amazing. And like, I felt so hashtag blessed that when she was at the Picador thing and I was like going to leave, I said to her, like, oh, I just wanted to say, like, of all the authors that are here tonight, you're actually the only one whose book I've read. And she was like, I know who you are. You're Bert. You're always wearing cute stuff.
Shut the door.
And like, obviously she doesn't really talk like that, but I was like, oh my god, Jamie Quatro knows who I am. I feel so cool. So yeah, I love her book, but now I also personally love her.
You know what I realized what I would compare it to? If I actually had to pick something that I think stylistically is similar and also like made me feel similar things, is Pages for You.
Yeah. I read them in quite quick succession and I was like, wow, these are all great and quite different at what they're doing.
It's the fact that like, so Pages for You, obviously, I guess you can tell by the title that each chapter is no more than like a page or two.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Fire Sermon. They're all incredibly short. So you're getting these like, almost like these big gasps of emotion.
Yeah. And some of it is so written good. As emails, some of it is prayers, some of it is straight up like fiction, you know, prose.
Yeah, it jumps between perspectives. And also, I cried at the end.
Yeah.
I cried like a fucking baby.
Yeah, it's very moving.
A baby that has just realised they are mortal and will die.
Yeah. Baby should have read From Here to Eternity.
Exactly, a baby that has read From Here to Eternity and then read this book and realised we're all gonna fucking die. But I'm not quite ready to be okay with it.
Yeah, so
it's not as depressing as I made it sound.
I just think this is an amazing book. I hope it does super well. I just feel like, I don't know, I'm so behind this book as something that I read and truly loved. And I really like books about people having affairs. Like, that is my genre of choice. I love books about affairs. I love it. I can't get enough of it. So I feel like it appeals to me anyway, but it just does it so well and so differently. And I really do feel like the very serious Christianity element adds a really interesting and different perspective.
Yeah, because they use their religion to justify having the affair.
Yeah.
Whereas generally you would imagine that your religious identity would
prevent you.
That you shouldn't do this thing. Which again, I just, it, you are so kind of convinced by their argument. I'm like, yeah, just fuck. I want to say fuck.
Yes. Yeah. And I like that it's about older people as well. I don't know. I think it's cool that it's not just about, like, hot young people in an office, like, wanting to bone.
Life bodies.
Yeah. I really love everything about this. So please read this when it comes out, because she's cool and she thinks I'm cool. And, you know, there's basically nothing more to life. Oh, so does the next person on our list also thinks we're cool, Alice.
And I think she's the coolest person in the world.
Oh!
So number five, this is out on the 19th of April, also from Picador. This is Ponty by Charlaine Teo.
She's so cool.
She's like the literal coolest person.
Yeah, and then she was like, when I met her at Picador New Voices, she was like, me and Megan Hunter always talk about how cool you are. And I was like, you shouldn't even know who I am, let alone think I'm cool.
So I first came across Ponty like last year. Me and Elizabeth Morris of Gower Street went to a showcase for...
Was it the kind of more agency one? Yeah.
I cannot remember the name of the agency, but anyway.
RCW?
Yes.
I know that...
Emma works.
Yeah, Charlene is represented by Emma Patterson, who's RCW, yes, so it was probably that.
Hence her name, Megan Hunter.
Yeah.
So it was RCW. So it was... The showcase was great. We really enjoyed it. You know, it was a really hot room. We had cold wine. It was perfect. But Charlene read last. And me and Elizabeth would just looked at each other like, holy fucking shit, this book is going to be massive and we have to wait 1,000 years before we can read it.
Yeah.
So I have been like fizzing like a bath bomb submerged in water ever since. I finally got my hands on a copy at the New Voices showcase. I couldn't start reading it immediately because I had loads of reading to do
for
the podcast and for my short story salon. And it was just torture. As soon as I got those events out of the way, which are good things I look forward to, but, you know, let's be real, I cracked into it, and it did not disappoint.
Oh my god, I'm so looking forward to reading it. It's next on my list.
So I knew that I was going to like it, because I, you know, I've...
Heard bits from it.
Heard two different extracts. I've, like, seen Charlene read twice. So I knew I was going to like it. I just, you can't ever know that you're going to love something. And of course, like, when you're really vocal about being excited about something, if you then don't like it, that's really fucking awkward. You have to just kind of quietly never mention it again.
Mm.
This, however, yeah, it just knocked me out of the park. So this one is about, it's about a woman who was starred in some cult 70s B-movies in Singapore.
That all revolve around the same monster.
Yeah, the same monster. It's like a man-eating monster.
Yeah.
Then you have the perspective of her daughter, and then you have her daughter's best friend, who is looking back 20 years later, looking back at her relationship with the main character, because the company that she works for are remaking the movies. It's just perfect. I loved it.
I can't wait. Obviously, I was hyped before, because I love Charlene, but I haven't read it. But I have it, and I can't wait. I genuinely can't wait. I'm going to take it home with me at Christmas. I'm going to read it in the bath with a cheese string.
But wild combination.
Yeah.
I'm still happy for
I just got to have all the things I like
How
in one
can
place.
You eat a cheese string and read a book at the same time in a bath?
I pee all the strings off with my teeth. I'm dexterous.
So, of course, because I forget that you have your long toes.
Shut up about my toes. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, so that, 19th of April. So that'll be our little spring fling. So number six on the list is The Water Cure by Sophie McIntosh, which is coming out on the 24th of May from Hamish Hamilton.
Cool. Do you know what? I followed Sophie on the internet for a really long time, and I am so hyped for her because she kept like winning prizes or like writing extremely interesting stuff. And I'm so happy that that has now come to fruition in the form of this novel that is going to be published so soon. Obviously, I was hyped in advance, but then you read it. You got a proof.
I have read it. I was very lucky to get an early proof. I snapped it straight up, read it cover to cover. We've talked a lot about books that we have read that do something better than other books we've read. This is another book about isolated communities. It's another book that has some kind of slightly kind of incestual tones to it. It's definitely one that's not going to be for everyone. But I feel like I've read a lot of books that have
that
these
element.
Things in common. Yeah. Isolated communities, incestual kind of vibes. This book is really saying something. I feel like this book really achieves what it sets out to do. It's not just trying to be shocking or titillating.
Or literary.
Yeah, it's not trying to be anything but itself. It's incredibly lyrical. It is line by line really beautiful. Again, it's also kind of violent and gross.
Cool.
In a way that I dig. I'm into it.
You like the gnarlier things in life.
I do. I just like it. Something that makes me feel uncomfortable. And those are the kind of books that really stick to me, you know? I think it's one as well, like, it's so incredibly quotable. There are so many lines about what it is to be a woman in... I was going to say in 2017, 2018. I don't know. I can't remember when it's actually supposed to be set. But anyway, it talks a lot about gender. And I think it's fantastic. I think it's going to do really well. And I really recommend that anyone who's interested in books that explore gender politics should pick it up.
Cool. I genuinely cannot wait to read this. I'm so happy for her. You know, just... This is just great.
It's going to be huge. It should be huge. Number 7. Oh, this was one that we just added today, so I'm not quite as up on the plot, but it's My Year of Rest and Relaxation, which is the new novel by Eileen author Ottessa Moshfegh. That's coming out on the 7th of June from Jonathan Cape.
Cool, because obviously we both loved Eileen.
Loved Eileen to death.
But I know some people who have read, like, her short stories who are, like, not so convinced.
Yeah, I actually bought the collection and then couldn't be bothered to read it.
Yeah. So, I will probably read this book, if it's a novel. Because I loved Eileen so much. But, you know, like, the kind of dark spikiness of Eileen?
Mm-hmm.
I think that works when it's one point of view. But I think maybe when you see that in every character, every protagonist... Of a short story collection, you're like, maybe you're just kind of mean.
Ooh.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I do feel like if that's the only kind of voice and perspective you can write, I'm like less on board. But
what put me off? So firstly, I have heard a rumor that the short story collection is fatphobic.
Yeah, that was it. That was the other thing. Yeah.
That made me like cock an eyebrow. The other thing as well is like, she did that interview about Eileen and said, yeah, it started as a joke because crime novels are garbage. That's not verbatim, but...
Yeah, it was like I wanted to see if I could write this genre thing that is easy and to churn out or...
And yeah, you know, I'm not really down for that. That is quite off-putting.
Yeah.
Like, don't fucking shit where you eat, dude.
Like, yeah, and also, like, just bask in the fact that you wrote this fucking amazing thriller. Like,
respect your fans. You know, don't tell... Anyway, so that put me off. But despite that, it is... I'm curious about My Year of Rest and Relaxation. It's about narcotics-induced hibernation.
Cool.
So I don't know. It could be totally different. If it's garbage, then we know for sure.
That we don't need to engage with her anymore. But yeah.
So we'll see. Number 8 on the list is Suicide Club by Rachel Heng. This is due out on the 10th of July from Scepter. Not one that either of us have read yet. It has the most banging cover, though. It's a black cover with neon coffins angled together to look like a heart.
Cool.
Yeah, which is just really eye-catching and beautiful. It's set in the near future in New York, where the life expectancy of the average human is like 300 years.
Sounds horrible.
It sounds absolutely ghastly. and people are obsessively trying to attain immortality.
I love that I'm simultaneously afraid of death but also afraid of living for 300 years.
It's like I just want to live a good life.
Maybe I just want to be dead now. Maybe I just want to opt out of all of it. I don't know. Okay,
maybe you want to hibernate.
Yeah,
narcotics
induced hibernation. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't really have much more to say about that. It looks like it could be a banger. Definitely worth keeping a little eye cock to it. We'll see what happens. Number 9 is an author that I feel like you haven't read anything by.
I haven't, but I am open to.
So, from Picador on the 26th of July, we have Give Me Your Hand by Megan Abbott. So, Megan Abbott is one of the authors that I will buy and read everything she writes.
Yeah, and that's why I really want to read her. Like, I haven't read anything by her, and I just trust your judgment, man. That's why I do a podcast with you.
Aw, thanks.
So, you know, if this is good, maybe this could be my first.
We'll see.
Maybe I'll have read all of them by the time this comes out. Yeah.
So she writes thrillers, but they are, she has a real literary edge to her. She generally, her thrillers are about girlhood, teenagehood, womanhood, all the hoods. Give Me Your Hand, however, is about adults. It's, well, I don't know, we'll have to see what the structure is, but it's a woman who's top of her field and then finds that there's like going to be a new kid on the block, someone new's coming into her workplace, and it's her childhood rival. So I'm hoping we'll get some like nice juicy teenage...
Cat's Eye by Margaret Atwood.
That's what I want. That is what I want.
Cat's Eye 2.0.
And I feel like if anyone could pull that off, Megan Abbott could pull it off. Because yeah. She writes about teenage girls just so eloquently, so succinctly. I'm excited.
Cool.
July feels like a long way away though.
Yeah.
It is literal snow outside.
There won't be by then.
There might be. Alright. And then number 10 on the list is... a book that I've been waiting for like 2 fucking years. I hope that this will be the year that it comes out. That's The Curses by Law Eve, which is due the 6th of September from Faber.
I want this for you.
What the fuck is going on? It was supposed to come out last September,
yeah.
And it didn't.
I remember hearing at Yalk that it wasn't coming out for another year and having to tell you this.
I was distraught.
She was devastated.
Yeah.
It's the worst news I've ever had to break to her.
So The Curses is the sequel to Law Eve's first young adult book, which was called The Graces, which is about a trio of siblings who everyone at school thinks they're witches. And it is, basically, it's the plot of The Craft. It is just The Craft. There's, like, a new kid in school who befriends them and gets into all this witchy shit with them. But it's just a banger. I loved it. It's witchy and spooky and really well plotted and... I'm into it. And I just want my fucking sequel. And I feel like I never, ever chase sequels. I don't really read series. Like, I haven't really got any kind of... anything else like it on my shelves. But I want to read it.
I want this for you.
I'm so angry. I'm not, actually.
It gives you something to live for.
And yeah, that's it. That's the top 10 of the books that we're most excited about in 2018.
Yeah.
If we've missed anything, dear God, please at us, because I like to keep track of the things I'm excited about, so I miss nothing.
So there's a little book coming out in 2018.
I was going to say, I was going to, like, as a troll, be like, a number 10.
It's Bethany's coffee table book.
But then I thought you might throw hot Ribena in my face.
No. But, you know, you should also buy that. You know, just go onto Amazon or wherever, but, you know, mostly Amazon, obviously, and... type Bethany Rutter into the search bar and pre-order my coffee table book of plus size style.
It looks really good.
It's going to be really good. Because I did it. So, I guess that's all, folks.
It's not quite it. Because I got you a Christmas present.
What the fuck?
This is not a thing that we have ever done before. We're not pals that give gifts for Christmas or birthdays. We just give gifts when we have a reason to give gifts. But
this is for me. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm going to read... Oh, it says, Dear Bert, here's to many more W-P-A-Y-O, or hey, G-1, Christmases. Love, Al, kiss. That's Alice.
It's me.
I need the Swiss Army knife that Alice has helpfully left on the table for
crack
me.
Crack out my Swiss Army knife.
I can't, I don't know how to operate it.
I don't need to break a nail. I'll give you the big one. It's quite blunt because I use it to cut cheese.
Of course you do. Oh my god, I'm so excited. I love presents. Yes! So Alice has given me the book that I have been wanting to read for such a long time because of Alice, which is The Pink Hotel by Anna Stoffard. Oh my god, and it even has an endorsement by Helen Dunmore, who is like, I think, one of the best.
Good book, and no one reads it. Oh.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much, Alice. I'm going to take this back to my parents' house and luxuriate in the bath and read this.
With your cheese string.
With my cheese string and my baby
you
bells.
You are welcome.
Well, I have loved every minute of What Page Are You On this year, my friend.
I think we've achieved some good shit.
Me too. And we're going to go to a nearby pub and have a business meeting about all the things we want to do next year.
And hopefully eat something warm and fried.
Brie.
I want brie or I want frickles. That's a really hard word to roll the yard.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who has listened to any of the episodes, but especially people who listen to all of the episodes. You're the best. And thank you so much for supporting us and sending us nice tweets in our first, I guess it will be 8 episodes that we've released this year. I can't believe it's only been 8. It feels like it's been in our lives for such a long time.
I know. Aww.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you, Bert.
Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us online, you can find us at whatpagepod on Twitter and Instagram, or you can email us at whatpagepod@gmail.com. I'm at Bethany Rutter on Twitter. Alice?
I'm at Smoking Tofu, no G.
Never G.
No G. I have to be careful that people don't start thinking I'm at Smoking Tofu, no G.
N-O-G.
Maybe I'll get... I should save that in case someone else gets it.
Preserve the app. But we will be back as soon as we can in 2018, schedules permitting. Keep your ear to the ground and your eyes on your podcast app. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.